Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is Monday, January 19, 2026.
Kicking off the week.
We are kicking off the week with something that, quite frankly, made my brain do a little flip-flop this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We spend so much time talking about AI writing code for us. You know, the whole GitHub Copilot thing.
Right. That's the standard workflow. You think it up, the AI types it out. It's an efficiency tool.
Exactly. The human is the architect. The AI is the bricklayer. We get that.
Sure.
But today.
Yeah.
Today, we're looking at something that just flips that whole relationship on its head.
Completely inverts it.
We're diving into a repository called OpenPros Pros. They just dropped version 0.7.1 yesterday.
Brand new. Yeah.
And the premise here is, well, it's a lot. They haven't built a tool for you to write code. They've built a programming language for an AI session to run.
It is a fascinating idea. And to really get why this matters, you have to look at the tagline in their README.
What's it saying?
It says, a long-running AI session is a Turing-complete computer. OpenPros is a programming language for it.
Okay, that is a heavy statement. A session is a computer.
Huh.
I mean, usually I think of, you know, silicon, RAM, a fan whirring.
Right.
You're saying a chat window is a computer.
In a theoretical sense, yeah. And understanding this is, it's key to everything else. This is what they call the intelligent inversion of control.
Intelligent inversion of control. Okay, let's unpack that. Because it sounds a little like buzzword bingo, but I feel like it's important.
It is. It really is. Think about how most people build AI apps right now. If you're a developer listening, you're probably using Python, right? Maybe LangChain or Autogen.
Sure. I write a Python script, it hits an API, I get text back, and then my Python code decides what to do next.
Exactly. The control logic, the if statements, the loops, that all lives outside the AI. You're the puppet master.
Right.
OpenPros flips that. The code runs inside the agent session. The session itself is the interpreter, the runtime, everything.
That sounds slippery. I mean, how does an AI execute a program? It's just guessing the next word. It doesn't have, like, an arithmetic logic unit.
And that is the biggest conceptual hurdle to get over. This is where the real aha moment is.
Okay.
The source material calls it simulation as implementation. Basically, LLMs are simulators. If you give an LLM a detailed enough system description, like the OpenPros language spec, it doesn't just describe it. It simulates it.
So because it understands the rules so well, it just pretends to be the computer that runs the code.
It simulates it with what they call sufficient fidelity. And if the simulation is perfect enough, then for all intents and purposes, it becomes the implementation.
That is almost recursive. It's like Inception. The AI is imagining a computer to run the code.
It is.
But why?
Yeah.
Why go through all this trouble? Why not just tell the AI what to do in plain English?
You can, but we all know how that goes. English is ambiguous. If you say, research this and write a post, it might get distracted or skip a step or write a poem.
Right.
Complex workflows need structure. You need loops, parallel execution, error handling. Plain English is just terrible at strict control flow.
But then traditional code, like Python, is too rigid. It can't handle nuance. Mm. You can't write an if statement that checks for sarcasm.
Precisely. And that's the gap OpenPros is trying to fill. It blends the rigid structure of code with the semantic understanding of the model.
Okay, this has to be related to that feature that really stood out to me. They call it the fourth wall.
Yes. The ellipsis. The three dots.
It sounds so dramatic.
It.
Like Deadpool talking to the camera.
It kind of is. In a coding context, most of the code looks pretty standard, you know, variables, loops. But that fourth wall syntax lets you break out and speak directly to the VM, to the AI in natural language.
Can we look at an example? I think that's where the light bulb really turns on.
For sure. So let's take a loop. In normal code, a loop runs until, say, a variable is true. It's binary.
One or zero.
Right. In OpenPros, you can write dot loop until the code is production ready. Session, review, and improve.
Okay, stop right there. Until the code is production ready. Who decides that?
The VM decides. The AI evaluates that condition semantically. It looks at the code, it looks at the context, and it makes a judgment call.
So it's not a one or a zero. It's a qualitative assessment baked right into the control flow.
Exactly. It's blending the hard logic of keep looping with the soft logic of is this any good, all inside the session. No external script trying to parse the output.
That is the intelligent part of intelligent inversion of control.
Yeah.
But it also sounds risky.
How so?
Well, what if the model has low standards for production ready? The loop exits early with bad code. Or if it's a perfectionist, you're in an infinite loop burning API credits.
That's the trade-off. Absolutely. In normal software, the bottleneck is CPU speed. Here, the bottleneck is the judgment of the CPU.
The processor needs to have good taste. That is a wild concept.
It really is.
Let's get more concrete. The source has a research and write workflow that uses multiple agents. I think that helps visualize this.
Yeah, that's a great example. It starts by defining the agents. First, an agent called Researcher, and it specifically assigns it the Sonnet model.
Which is interesting. Picking models for roles inside the code.
Right. You use Sonnet because it's faster, cheaper, great for information gathering, and you give it the web search skill. Then a second agent, Writer, and that one gets the Opus model.
Opus being the heavy hitter. Better prose, but more expensive.
Exactly. You're casting your agents. Then comes the Structure. It uses a parallel block.
Which tells the VM to do things at the same time.
Yep. Inside that block, the researcher gets two jobs. Research quantum computing breakthroughs and analyze competitor landscape.
So the AI runtime is effectively spinning up two parallel threads, having the researcher do two things at once.
Correct. It handles that concurrency. And once that's done, it moves to a loop. And this is where that fourth wall comes in.
Let me guess.
It says, loop until the draft meets publication standards, max 3. Inside, it activates the writer agent with the research context.
So it researches in parallel, then the writer takes over and it loops writing and refining until the AI itself decides, yeah, this is good enough. Or it hits that max of 3 tries.
Precisely. And think about how readable that is. To do that in Python would be pages of boilerplate. In open prose, it's like 8 lines.
It's much closer to how a manager would describe a task to a team, not how a programmer talks to a machine.
That's a great way to put it. It's prompt programming.
You mentioned open prose as a specification, not just a tool. What does that mean if someone wants to actually try this?
It means no vendor lock-in. It's an open standard. Your prose files will work on any system that is prose complete.
Prose complete. That's a clear nod to Turing complete.
Oh, for sure. Right now, the source lists 3 implementations, Claude Code, Open Code, and AMP. You can switch between them without rewriting your agents.
That's a big deal. Usually, if you build on one framework, you're stuck there.
And because the runtime is the session, there are 0 external dependencies. You don't need a Python environment, no pip or Docker, just the text file and a capable LLM.
Okay, what about memory? That's always the Achilles heel. How does it remember what it's doing?
By default, it's just in context, you know, the conversation history, which is fine for simple scripts, but the new release has some experimental features that are pretty robust.
I saw Squilite and PostgreSQL. That seems like overkill for a chat session. Why does an AI need a SQL database?
Well, not if you're building Gastown.
Gastown, what's that?
It's example number 28, a big multi-agent orchestration. When you have agents running for hours or days, you need structured, queryable state. You can't just rely on the context window.
So you give the AI a long-term structured memory with a database.
Yes. State Squilite for a local file, or State Postgres for true concurrent writes and integration with external systems.
I did see a very, very large warning box about Postgres, though.
And we absolutely have to highlight it. You have to give it a database connection string, open prose PostgreSQL. And the docs are very clear that URL, including your password, is visible to the subagent sessions.
Meaning the AI can see the password.
Yes. It needs the keys to the car. So the warning is stark. Treat these credentials as non-sensitive. Don't use your production root password.
Right. Don't give the AI the keys to the family vault, because if it hallucinates,
it could decide to drop table users.
Mm-hmm.
And because it has the credentials, the database will just obey.
It just wipes the inventory.
Exactly. So you use a dedicated user with minimal privileges. That's critical.
That feels like a very beta kind of problem to have. Here's a great feature, but be careful or you'll delete everything.
It is very beta. The source is upfront about it. The software may behave unexpectedly. Telemetry is on by default, and they explicitly say not for critical production workflows yet.
But despite that, the examples directory is packed. You mentioned Gastown. I also saw one called The Forge.
Example 37, The Forge. The description is just build a browser from scratch.
Wait, like Google Chrome? It builds a web browser.
A simplified one, probably. But the fact that a single script can orchestrate that shows the vision here. They're thinking about software factories.
And I saw things like PR Autofix and Bug Hunter.
Bug Hunter is the dream, right? Go find bugs in my code and fix them while I sleep.
So how is this fundamentally different from, say, LangChain or Crew AI?
Right.
Why choose this?
The FAQ answers that directly. Those are orchestration libraries. They coordinate from the outside. OpenProse runs inside. The session is the container.
The difference between driving by remote control versus sitting in the driver's seat.
That's a good analogy. It's lighter weight. It's more portable. You just send one text file to the AI and the AI becomes the application.
So we're moving from prompt engineering toward prompt programming.
That's a great way to put it. It's a middle ground between fuzzy English and rigid binary code.
I do want to circle back to the responsibility section in the README before we close out. It was short, but it felt important.
It was. You are responsible for all actions performed by AI agents you spawn. That's the quote.
Because these agents have tools. Web search, file writing.
Database access.
Right. If you write a script that says, delete all files that look like clutter,
yeah,
and the AI decides your operating system looks cluttered,
you are going to have a very bad day.
A very bad day. Because the computer made a judgment call on what clutter means.
It's the sorcerer's apprentice problem. You tell the brooms to fetch water, but if you don't tell them when to stop, you drown the castle.
You have to be a careful wizard.
Exactly.
Okay, so to sum this all up, OpenProse V0.7.1, it's a new language, turns an AI session into a computer, uses a mix of strict syntax and these semantic fourth wall commands.
It's portable, it's beta, and it's a glimpse of a future where the line between programmer and manager just blurs.
You're not writing the code, you're writing the job description.
And the performance review criteria, yeah.
Which is both exciting and terrifying.
As all good tech should be.
So if you want to check this out, the repo is OpenProse on GitHub. But again, mind the beta warnings, mind the security notices.
Please don't start by asking it to reformat your hard drive.
Yeah, stick to Hello World for a bit. You know, I'm left with this final thought. If we're using syntax like loop until the draft meets publication standards,
yeah,
are we really programming computers anymore? Or are we just negotiating with them?
That is the question, isn't it? When the break statement depends on an opinion, code becomes a conversation. And we're just now learning the grammar.
And on that note, we'll leave you to your own conversations. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you on the next one.